Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, we're concluding this four-week series on being forgiven and forgiving others, looking at our community, a community of forgiveness. And I want to start by saying community is indeed what we are made for. The first time God said something wasn't good was when Adam was alone. People are not designed to live in isolation. If you think about the punishment of solitary confinement in prison, it's a great punishment, but a terrible rehabilitation. It breaks us. Isolation breaks our spirit. And so when we come to community, we actually find part of what we were made for. We were made to know God, but we were made to know God in the presence of other people whom God has made. God said to love him and to love our neighbor because worship in community is his ideal. Here at Deep Creek, our heart is to be a place that is refreshing. Refreshing to others, refreshing to the world, refreshing to ourselves as we come into the presence of God, as we receive, as he pours his goodness into us. You might remember Jesus' teaching in John chapter 7. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, and then rivers of living water will flow from within that person." I loved this picture. This is from the Faroe Islands. I've not been there, but I loved the image of all this beautiful fresh water pouring into the lake, which then poured out. That is the picture of a right and righteous community. God pouring his goodness, his teaching, his life, the Holy Spirit into us together, and it pooling as we gather so that there might be life within it and life flowing from it. But too often we find that there are things that stop that flow on and refreshing faith within community. And these are the sounds I think we hear in community that show us that something is about to go wrong. First of all, of course, is the me, 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 me. Not tuning up, but indeed thinking of myself. The second is ew. And that is feeling like the diversity of people that God has brought into our midst is not the kind of people you'd like to spend time with. Oh, that person's hard. Now, of course, the scriptures talk to us about me, 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 and our selfish focus. The scriptures talk to us about pushing others away because they don't meet our kind of neat and easy relational conditions. We know that that's the work that God needs to do amongst us. Everyone, always, all the time. The third one, I didn't quite know. I was like, it is the sense of being so busy, running so hard, that when you're surrounded by people, you can only think, oh, this is just going to push me right over the edge. I've got no time, no capacity, no breath left to engage with others. Now, I think that is hard because so often in community, when we're running so hard, it's with very good things, very good things. We're caring for children, we're working hard, we're doing our best, we're wanting to provide for our family, we're engaging well in the world. We're trying to keep fit. We're trying to prepare nutritious meals. We're trying to care for our elderly relatives, parents, friends. We're doing great stuff. And so we're not addressing that today, but I did want to flag it because I think it's something that is going to keep being there for us as a community. But the final one is what we're addressing today. It's the ouch. It's the someone's hurt me in this place, and even if I haven't left, I'm sitting with an ouch. That long reading that we had from Proverbs, and it's hard when you've got a reading from Proverbs because there's so many different aspects to it. Each one you could sit with and think about. Well, that reading from Proverbs shows us how complex community can be. And probably if we went through, we could see that each one of those sounds that flag something bad about to happen in community were mentioned there. There's definitely the me, me, me. There's definitely the ooh. I'm not sure that we see the pant, but it would be elsewhere in Proverbs. But the ouch is right here in Proverbs 18, verse 9. A brother, a person wronged, the New King James or the King James has offended, is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. We don't have translation into Persian today, but all of us could probably do with some translation of that. It means that when you say ouch, walls go up. And when walls go up in community, that's when things stop flowing. It's hard to share what I need prayer for and receive healing at the hands of others when my walls are up because of ouch. It's hard for me to be generous and give grace to others when my walls are up because I have been hurt and offended. I've had a number of conversations over my nearly 5 years here of people who have been carrying a hurt. And it's interesting that those hurts or the walls that seem to be up in that person's life are magnified when there's been previous hurts in their life. Someone has said something, someone has done something in church, and it's felt a lot ouchier to them because they've already got a whole bunch of hurt sitting there. The scriptures tell us that being hurt puts up walls, and being hurt often or deeply makes those walls higher and higher, stronger and stronger. And so if we go back and we kind of combine our metaphors, we can see that a place where walls have gone up, a community where walls have gone up, doesn't bring fresh water out to those around them. And in fact, even the water that comes in just kind of stagnates. You know the type, like when you go to the beach and the sand has kind of moved to the point where a certain part of the beach doesn't drain anymore. The tide can come in, but it doesn't get to that point anymore. It's filled up and it starts to go brown and you're like, if I have to walk through that to get to the coffee shop, that's my life, that's going to be awful. This is what happens in community. We can be receiving the most amazing revelation from God, blessing from God, fresh water coming in, God stirring things up, but the walls are there. The water has pooled. It's going nowhere and it stagnates. We become bitter and others don't receive the blessing of rivers of life flowing from us. It doesn't matter where you are, what church, how close to the Lord Jesus. Although I do think the 8 o'clock service this morning was probably the only experience of church that I have had where there were no problems at all, no concerns. This didn't apply in any way. Would you like to guess why? No one came! Actually, it wasn't a bad start to my birthday, truly. I am an introvert, actually, so it was kind of nice. There was no one there. That is the only reason. None of this applied. The Apostle Paul speaks right into the heart of a beautiful, growing Christian community in Colossae, and he still says to them, you are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That's coming in. That's not changing. But you must now clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, there am I in their midst. But it's like, where two or three are gathered, this is also needed. Bear with each other. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Being forgiven by God brings in fresh water to us, absolutely. But if we do not then live in forgiveness in community, then we will not find that this community is life-giving, is refreshing, is clean, is somewhere we even want to step foot in, let alone invite others to or see a difference in our community because of what it creates. Forgiveness is at the heart of keeping a community open, flowing, fresh, and refreshing. And so Jesus himself talked to his disciples, all of his followers, about how to do that. But often when we come to this, if you've ever seen a Matthew 18 conflict resolution, which is you go to one-to-one and then you bring some other people and then you bring it to the church and then, you know, kind of it's all over, nuclear option. It feels very, very strong. It feels actually extremely combative. And even the thought of it feels completely different to the idea of forgiveness at the heart. But Jesus doesn't want us to shove things under the rug, even though I appreciate that on the platform. Jesus does not want us to do that. Jesus does want us to address the issues, be they elephants or tiny mice in the room. And so I actually Googled Matthew 18 conflict resolution, but make it gentle. Because so often when we think of confrontation and conflict resolution, the temperature for us rises really high and it seems out of reach. But actually Galatians 6 tells us that that's exactly the call, make it gentle. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So we start, make it gentle, with direct communication. Those conversations I had with people who have left the church, the person never got a chance to say or never felt able to, or that it was their right or responsibility to approach the person who'd hurt them. But there is a responsibility for us. And so we start with direct communication. And if that's all we start with in this church, that's going to be good. That's going to be great. Approach the individual privately, expressing your concerns with empathy and gentleness, because if you've been forgiven by God, you know that you are not perfect either. Aiming to resolve the issue together. Then you move to, if that doesn't work, inclusive mediation. Now, other people are involved, not so that you can start recruiting to your team, your army, your side, but so that, well, it'd actually be really good to have witnesses to this, because what if my perspective on this hurt is incorrect? That's always a possibility. So we have others part of it. Now, I wanted to make a point, and I did say the sermon was going to be short-ish. I don't want us to think that talking about something that's happened to us is gossip. It concerns me that we feel like it's the wrong thing to do to ever talk about something that's hurt us, and we're kind of shut down because it means that we're taking offence, or that we're unforgiving, or that we're gossiping. If you need to talk to someone about some hurt that's happened, you can talk to someone. Their job is to say, have we done direct communication? Do you need help with step two? So we're not talking to people so that we're recruiting our army, so that we're trying to punish someone. But if you need to talk to someone, that's okay, because their job is to say, hey, have you been able to talk to that person? Is there a way that I can help you to do that? And we go from there. I think it's really important, because I think sometimes weird power stuff can happen if we can't talk about what's happened. Number three, community involvement. If resolution and reconciliation remain elusive, bring the matter to the attention of the broader community, starting with those tasked with pastoral leadership and with earned authority in the church, seeking a wise, accountable, and inclusive approach to repentance and reconciliation. I have never gotten to this point. And that's not necessarily a good thing. It's not because every community I've been in has been incredibly healthy. It's because this feels super threatening. And because we're a voluntary organisation with a bunch of other amazing churches just around the corner, it's much easier for people to just leave than to get to this point. But it does mean that that ouch remains. And that the next time you get an ouch in the church, it feels bigger, the walls go up, and the stagnation increases. So I don't love conflict, and I don't particularly want ever to get to this point. I don't even like it when people come to do the direct communication with me, even though I know scripturally I need to be open to it. My blood pressure goes absolutely sky high, and I'm not particularly rude to people, but I'll always do things that hurt people. But we need to listen to Jesus' words, because our community needs to be life-giving. And finally, ultimately, if all attempts at resolution fail, it may be necessary to disengage from shared spiritual practices. Because if you're coming to the table together, you're worshipping God together, but you both know that you've got some incredible conflict, that's going to start to undercut everything that happens together. And I'll tell you what, the next generation of kids, my kid, your kids, grandkids, are going to say, that church is full of hypocrites. They worship God with their mouths and then they do not speak well of their brother or sister after that. But the incredible thing about Matthew 18 is that it sits in the context of the shepherd seeking the sheep. It comes straight after the picture of the 99 and the one. It comes straight after God's great heart desire for every single person to be back in the fold. And so when Jesus says you treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector, you're not hoping that they will be lost in a thicket forever. You are seeking God's bringing them back into the fold one day, knowing that he rejoices. It feels like there's a lot riding on our forgiveness. That if we do not forgive, that it may be that we are causing great harm in the church. But I didn't want us to sit with that before I addressed this final point. Proverbs 18 catches us coming and going. It tells us that if someone is hurt and the walls have gone up, they need to deal with it. They need to deal with the wrong. They need to talk to someone. But it also tells us that we can hurt others really easily with what we say, and that we each are responsible not only for seeking to let something go, seeking to live as a forgiving person, but we also need to seek forgiveness. This kind of has a bit of a progression from really obvious, an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and that absolutely happens in the church, in any volunteer organization. But it moves down just to, did you not listen well? Did you say something unthinkingly? What is it that you might have done that even someone who's already got an ouch might have heard in a way that really hurt them? And so the work of forgiving and being forgiven is ours as well as those that have hurt others. So when we think about approaching the work of forgiveness, it's not simply us seeking to forgive someone, reconciling, it's actually saying sorry as well. When we come to communion, and which we're going to do in just a minute, and we're confident to say to God, I'm sorry, perhaps we need to be asking God, will you empower me to say sorry to someone else? We've talked about forgiveness, but actually the work for us might be the I'm sorry. Approaching someone may not be because they've hurt you. It may be because you might have hurt them. You've noticed something, a change. You can remember something. God's brought something to your mind. And so express your sorry, but make it gentle. Expressing remorse starts, but seeking forgiveness is separate. And that person needs to have the power to be able to, the agency to grant that or not. Just expressing remorse doesn't guarantee it. We repent, turn away from the behavior. We pray. Maybe we can pray together. Maybe we pray, receive prayer from someone else. Maybe we pray for ourselves. We seek to reconcile, listening to the other, understanding the other person's perspective. And if appropriate, we offer to make amends, to make something better, to make restitution. It's hard work, and we could do it every day of the rest of our lives. But I want us to know that Jesus has done all that it took. This is an image of those curtains being torn from top to bottom. Any division, any stagnation, any walls going up, Jesus' death does carry the power to break those down. His body broken, that temple curtain torn in two, that actually is the medicine we need. That is the remedy we need to bring us back together. So we're going to share communion now, and we are going to confess our sins together. It's the traditional way. We don't always do that at 10 o'clock as we begin. So let's just take a moment in quiet, and then we'll move into this confession.